Hey guys, and we're back for Outlander tonight. Yes, finally, some sex. I'm just kidding. Okay, stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right, guys, what's up? Welcome to Outlander After Show, Season 3, Episode 2, titled Surrender. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. That's MSADRIENSNOW. And here are my fellow co-hosts.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at OMG. It's MLE.
And I'm Tiana Hobson, and you can find me at the Tiana Hobson, and yay, sex!
Yes! Sex is back.
Sex is
the
back.
Only one episode without.
All right. Back on track.
We didn't get to see any Jamie sex, but it's okay.
And I love it because I love seeing his ass when he's having
sex. Oh my
god. Such a pretty one.
Just that.
Him and Jon Snow have some great, asses.
Did you hear about how he had to get his workout routine to focus on?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He said he started doing that booty band thing.
I'm gonna look that up because I want a butt like that.
Bravo, Sam. Bravo.
He said it was like the Fibonacci curve was perfectly on his butt. Sorry, we're just talking about Game of Thrones, Jon Snow's butt. Anyways, first thoughts.
Yeah, I really liked this episode. Yeah. Actually, I think better than last week's episode. Mm. I just thought it was really well written and directed, and I liked the parallel between Jamie's life and Claire's life, even though they're in different time zones, just going kind of through the same thing, you know, in slightly different ways. But I really liked it. That scene with Fergus, kind of destroyed me. I was not expecting that. I really liked it. I thought it was a good episode.
I agree. I thought it was a really good episode, and I do agree that it was better than last week's because, I mean, as I told you guys before the show started, this is the first time I had to wait week to week to watch a new episode, so it's very hard to do things the non-binge way, so I like just knowing what's going to happen, so I'm teaching myself the patience because I'm over here like, okay, where's Murtaugh? When are we getting Jamie and Claire back together? Why isn't this happening? And then I have to remind myself, it's only episode 2.
Yes.
And it's okay,
we
Tiana.
We still have 11
You're
more
gonna
weeks.
You're going to make it.
Yeah. We're going to get through this, Tiana. Yes. It's okay. It's episode 2.
Yep. We got at least till the beginning of November. And then we'll finally be there. Overall, I really like this episode. I'm always appreciative of a good sex scene on Outlander, even if it is kind of sad. and I just really appreciate it seeing that we finally caught up with Jamie finally caught up in terms of the time because we saw that Clara was Claire what Claire what yes sorry my mom's name is Clara so sometimes my brain goes what it was a little bit forward and so to have him kind of catch up and we're all in sync is good I didn't really have any qualms with it. The only qualm I had was that the closed captioning wasn't working. And as an American, that's really tough sometimes to hear that Scottish accent. But overall, I really love the episode. And it was great to see Fergus back as well.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start with Claire. First thoughts on that whole thing.
Homegirl's just horny.
I feel it.
I mean,
so was she masturbating in the first show?
I think so.
I wasn't sure if she was just having
a really
good dream.
Was down,
or...
But then, there was, I don't know. I was like, do they not want to go there? But just imply it?
Implied.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took it as she was.
Yeah.
I thought so, but. I mean,
thought she was too. I kind of wanted them to, cut further out and just see Frank being like,
yeah, eyes open, that's what I thought they were gonna show him, just awake,
so sad
really,
for his,
really.
His sexless marriage.
Yeah.
So at this point, I guess it's been a little bit over a year and a half, years, I guess, if we're in sync with Jamie's.
I guess, but the baby didn't look 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, 2 years from when she left, so that includes, the 9 months,
of
pregnancy.
Okay.
So, and...
I forget how babies work.
I know, me too. I'm I don't know.
They have to cook for 9 months.
Yeah. It's actually 10 months.
Yeah, it is.
A friend told
me.
And I was like, that's a nightmare. What do you mean it's not 9 months?
It's advertised as 9. I want 9, not 10.
Yeah.
It's actually 10 months, just so you guys know. But the baby flipped over, so I guess.
I have no idea on those milestones.
Let's see.
No idea.
A year and 8 months. Let's
Perfect.
Just go with that. That works. I think that's appropriate. I don't know how babies really work, but because I am not a mother.
Google is a great thing.
Yes, right? I'm just going to look that up real quick. it was great to see her, you know, with her baby. But mm-hmm. you can also see that she's kind of still hungry for more, like, yeah. when she's reading the newspaper, and she's mm-hmm. kind of, like, excited about that. And she sees baby flip over, and that's really cute. And you finally kind of see her, like, reach out.
Yeah.
Kind of touch Frank. Kind of be a little interested in him again.
Yeah.
I don't know. How did you guys feel about that? Just that kind of, like... I feel really weird because he still it looks like Captain Jack, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's still really weird, and I understand where her hesitation is, especially after she mm-hmm. saw Captain Jack do all these terrible yeah. things. And in my mind, I try to put myself in her place of how could I go back to loving or being affectionate with someone who that's all that I see.
Yeah.
But then I have to remind myself that he didn't do those things.
Exactly.
And you did agree to move forward in your relationship and marriage with this person, yeah. so at least you could pretend to be happy about it.
Yeah.
Also, babies start rolling between 4 and 6 months.
There we go.
Okay, perfect. Ooh,
Google.
So Did it.
She's a little bit behind on the timeline. darn it! Get in sync!
Yeah.
But no, I think I understand that hesitancy as well, of just like kind of being like, well...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe she shouldn't have bad for it. Frank. And I don't want to feel bad for Frank because I'm Team Jamie. But here's this guy who just loves her so much.
Yeah.
And I mean, who doesn't want someone to love them that much and that passionately?
Yeah.
And she just can't even reciprocate it back. And I mean, I feel like I've been the Frank in a lot of the situations before, you know, of like unrequited love.
Yeah.
Talk. Yeah. And it's just, it's traumatizing to be that person mm-hmm. and you don't want to be led on. And mm-hmm. that's my one thing with Claire is I'm like, try a little harder because I don't lead him on.
Or walk away from it. Yeah. Like he said to her last episode, like, it's fine if you want to walk away, but if you're going to stay, I want you to be here because you want to be here. You know? And I appreciate that he did that. But I think it's always going to be weird for me to see Frank and Claire together. And mm-hmm. it's funny because when it first started,
they were great.
You were like rooting for it. Like, wait, what is she doing with this guy? And then all of a sudden it was over, you know? And you're like, Claire and Jamie forever.
Yeah.
But
like,
yeah,
no more jumping on the bed being all cutesy. It's like, where's Jamie?
Yeah, but I think it's still weird, and it's like I feel bad for Frank, you know, in the mm-hmm. same way, you know. But at the same time, it's like I just you want Claire to be with Jamie so bad, so it's kind of mm-hmm. like, well, let's jump forward when they get back together.
And,
but
and the other part of it is that I don't think that Frank ever gave her the time to mourn Jamie.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and she's jumping back in. She was home for. What, like a 3 days or something? And then he's like, hey, I'm going to Boston and you can come with me and we can do this and you have to forget about him. Mm-hmm. So she never got to have the closure mm-hmm. of even, you know, at the end of last season when she's, you know, finally realizing like he might have survived the Culloden mm-hmm. stuff. She never got to do that research before to really put him in the past.
To
move forward.
Yeah, and 2 years isn't a long time, you know, for somebody when you're like have that kind of love
and you have their baby.
And you have their baby.
Yeah. That's got the reddest hair in the world, just like her father.
Like just a reminder every day. And I think when she made a comment at some point in the episode when she said, you know, I was a part of something so much bigger, you know, everything that was going on with the time travel and just like trying to change history, you know, that's not easy to get over in 2 years and just say, okay, moving on with my life in Boston, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's. I expect it's going to take a while.
Yeah. I think it's going to take maybe never.
Yeah.
Because based on what we heard at the end of last season with Brianna, you know, it seems like she never really clicked out of it. Brianna's like, clearly dad loved you and you didn't love him.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, which is kind of one of those classic, sadly, 1950s type of marriages where divorce is kind of like a unspoken thing.
Right.
So it's like, well, we're in this. I don't love you anymore. Let's raise this child and hope one of us dies. And I was like, oh, God, this is a very heartbreaking situation to be in. But there is like a little bit of light in it in that she is attempting to be intimate again. Like they have that dinner with Millie and her husband, which is a very, I was like, whoa, he made a reference about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Because the last episode, she seemed so like, you know, oh, yeah. Well, I can't do anything, you know, no yeah. surprises for the husband. And then yeah. he's coming and saying all yeah. this. Like, I'm like, wait, what? Hold on, what?
Clearly yeah. that wine was really good.
Yeah.
wine was yeah, really good.
They were topping it off. So I guess he was like willing to go there. But yeah. I mean, it was still kind of like strangely domestic because he was talking, they were talking about the dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how she can't cook, but she can. That's still kind of sexist. but in any case, after that, she attempts to be with her husband. And I mean, I don't know how quickly you guys noticed, but the moment they cut to her and her eyes were closed, I was like, oh, man, I know what this is about.
Yeah,
and I felt really bad.
I don't think I saw that, but the first time when they were in bed having sex and he was like, what's going on? She's like, I just missed my husband. And I was like, which one?
Exactly. Lies. Lies.
Frank, you fell for that, boy? Yeah. You crazy. Like, you know better. You know who she's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, that sex scene happened before the second one, because the second one was yeah. the one in the fireplace after. The
yeah. And she was like, yeah. I'm going to take my knickers off.
And that was a nice yeah. little throwback to season one when right. they had sex in the cave place. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think just that moment of realization for Frank where he's like open your eyes. And I've definitely done that to people in my life. And I have definitely they've been like, open your eyes. And I was like,
I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I want out of this relationship. So I understand her point of view, but I definitely understand Frank's point of view of just like, you know, I'm here with you. I want to do this with you, but yeah. you're still off with him. And
yeah, and let's be real. Claire is a very intense eye holder yeah. when she's in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, from past with Frank and even with Jamie, you know, mm-hmm. it was always like that strong, we are in sync with each other. Yeah. We're on the same yeah. wavelength. So yeah. as soon as he said it, because I think I had my head down writing something, I was like, oh, man, Claire, like,
yeah,
like be looking through him.
Yeah.
You don't have to look at him, but look through him so at least he feels like you're looking at him.
He'll still know.
I don't know.
You know when someone's looking through, you're just like,
Just glazed over.
I kind of felt like that. When that was happening, I kind of thought, come on, Frank, like, beggars can't be choosers, yeah. you know, like, baby steps here. Like, yes,
yeah.
I feel bad for him, and I'm not saying, like, it's an ideal situation, but this was, like, what, the second time they'd been intimate, yeah. and he'd been wanting it for 2 years or yeah. however long it's been, so it's like, cut her some slack. It
She's
takes
getting
baby
there.
Steps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then a couple times later, you can talk about the eye-opening thing. But yeah. I felt bad for him, yeah. But, I mean, come on.
But at the same time, yeah, she didn't expect to. Well, you know, I guess from his point of view, I read somewhere he thought she left him. And so, yeah. And from her point of view, she, you know, fell into a time warp.
Okay, I didn't leave you. I just time traveled real quick.
I time traveled, so this is my life. So, yeah, they never thought that they would have to be with each other again. And I think yeah. for him, it's more of relief, and for her, it's more of a, oh, I kind of moved on because I had to.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I get where both sides are coming from. I just, I know what's going to happen next episode just from the preview, but I would have liked to have had one episode of them being kind of just genuinely happy together
yeah.
for majority of the episode.
Yeah.
And then watching it fall apart next
yeah.
episode.
Which I thought yeah. was going to yeah. happen Me based too. Off of the ending of last week with the birth of the baby mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, this can be our new fresh start.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, they're going to have like a moment.
Yeah.
Maybe like 1 year of real true love happiness. And yeah. then she'll snap back out yeah. of it and
yeah.
something will, you know, she'll get a letter, something yeah. will happen, she'll discover he was in cahoots with the reverend
yeah.
Or preacher, and that'll snap her back. Because yeah. I was kind of like, I could use
yeah.
Like just an episode of them being happy
because
together.
They did have a real true love before yeah. this right. all happened. And you right. could tell that their bond and their chemistry was strong and real.
It's, yeah.
So it would be nice to get to see them have that a brief moment of that happiness again.
Yeah. I thought it was going to go the same way, too. Like, I even wrote down Claire's reconnection with Frank. Like, because I'm like, oh, okay, nice. We get to see this. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm on board for an episode, right? Like, okay, well, that's fine. And then it was like, then the next thing I had to go back and write, and then separate beds. Like,
yeah, what was with the I Love Lucy style bed situation yeah. all of a sudden?
Yeah, so that didn't last long.
Yeah, I was like, this is literally based on I Love Lucy right now.
Yeah, because that actually wasn't a real thing. That was just what they did for I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Fun fact, everyone.
Exactly. But, that's what I was like, wait. Yeah. They told me this wasn't real, that I Love Lucy just couldn't show it, and now they're living it.
Yeah. So. I mean, I feel like people did that after I Love Lucy, being like, well, we could do that.
We could.
Yeah. Just it's not a bad
beds.
Idea.
We could sleep inside push of beds, because I don't like you.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't want to touch you, so.
I can
everything
live in a marriage
about
with that.
You annoys me.
Yeah. I think it shows a really good, the difference between, like, regular, or, I don't know, like, epic love versus love. Yeah. like, it doesn't mean that Claire didn't love Frank, but that the love she had with Jamie is epic.
Right.
Once in a lifetime. You never forget that person.
It's like can't eat, can't sleep, reach for the fence over the
World Series kind of stuff. It takes two.
I watched that. It's on Netflix. Hulu right now. Yeah, Hulu. Hulu right now. I watched it
a week ago as Because I still quote that can't eat, can't sleep, reach for the stars, over the fence, World Series kind of stuff. Anyways, so it's a good quote. But just to go forward with Claire, so she ends up deciding that she is not satisfied just being like a happy homemaker housewife type of deal, and that she needed something more. And we cut to her going back to med school. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yes, finally, we're not gonna be like trudging along for years before she finally does this. And, of course, she's immediately met with sexism.
Right.
Mm-hmm. like, within the first shot of her being in class.
Yeah.
But she is finds a partner in crime in the black man, who's immediately met with racism. Joe Abernathy, who I think is also from the books. I kind of, like, glimpsed briefly, and I was like, oh, no. I just wanted to see, like, if he was based on a real person.
Yeah.
But now I'm seeing is he's in the book. So that, I think it'll be a nice little...
Perfect, yeah.
I see them as the oddballs who are also the top of the class.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, no one wants to study with them.
Yeah.
You know, social pariah in the time, and yet they're, kicking everyone's ass in
class.
They
have more to prove,
They work harder than everyone else because, they do have something to prove.
And I love that she has, someone else to go through the struggle with, and it seems like he will be, based on previews for the rest of the season, someone who's really by her side a lot of the ways.
I just kind of got a flashback to, I don't remember his name, but when they were in France... the medicine guy that, was helping
out. Oh, yes.
Just, like, and I didn't think of that when we were watching the episode, but just talking about it now with you guys, talking about having somebody there, with her and kind of, they're, the oddballs or the,
Or even the other one who went through, I can't remember her name right now, the redheaded chick who was from the 60s.
Galis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they had that flash forward where they actually met. I was like, ah.
Yeah.
But anyways, Galis. So it was nice to have that for her, because I think she always needs someone like that.
Right.
So let's get into Jamie.
Oh, no.
The saddest story on Earth at this point. In fictionally, not in real life. Jamie is living in a cave in the middle of the woods.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. Still in the... When you watch the post-show credit, they talk about how his clothes are still the same clothes from when he was caught. Hasn't probably bathed in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
but all that said, he could still get it.
Still gorgeous. Still a gorgeous man.
Yeah.
Even with way too long hair and way too long of a beard.
Yeah.
And we've discovered that Captain Lewis... I believe is his name. I looked it up on IMDb. That's what they said. is the newest of the redcoats to attempt to come and find him. And the name that he has is the new name, not Red Jamie, but the
Dunbonnet.
Dunbonnet. Yeah.
So they still come over every now and then and harass Jamie's sister and her husband about where's Jamie.
Who Jenny is always pregnant.
And she's always pregnant.
Every time we see her again, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm like, you and Ian, you get it.
You get it.
That was a loving couple.
A little peg leg be up in the air, just like getting it. Sorry, that's whatever. so they arrest him. Ian. Yes.
Yeah.
They arrest him. And Jamie, I guess he just comes in just to check in to be like, I gotta look at the ledgers, or...
I brought you a deer.
Here's some meat.
I just wanna say hello and go back to my
cave. Go back to my lonely life in the cave.
I love how when he meets his sister, like their first encounter in this particular episode is her talking about how like he hasn't been laid.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a little odd too. I'm like, I don't know that I would be jumping into that with my siblings, but, you know.
Yeah, and maybe it was more about getting her handmaiden, whose name has slipped my mind.
I know.
I didn't write it down. She's just the thirsty bitch in my notes.
Yes, the thirsty bitch. I mean, hey, you know, get it where you can.
I mean, and I'm not hating on her because, you know, she's, get yours, but
yeah.
I didn't know her name.
She's a widow.
Yeah.
And so I think she was just trying to, like, get them. I guess, you know, like in my life, if I see, like, two of my friends, and I think they're compatible. It's very rare that I ever actually think that. But, and I can tell they're both just kind of like sad, lonely people. I'd be like, I don't know. I mean, if you want to.
Yeah.
If you're looking for somebody. It's weird, but here.
Ginny has always kind of taken care of Jamie. Yeah. And so she's seen how sad and like lonely and probably like suicidal he is, and she's like, I want to make you, like, I want to get my brother back. I want to see you happy again, like you were with Claire. Like, maybe you should get laid, you know. Don't use it, you lose it. And all that stuff. So I could see where the concern is. It was kind of weird that the first thing was just like about the sex instead of like, hey, why don't we find you a bonnie lass to like go on a date with or something.
Also, because in their minds, he's a widow. It's not like she's still alive.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe that's kind of the case of like, well, maybe he doesn't want to get remarried, but, you know, just because you're
when he said that, like, I'll never remarry again, I was like, oh, because he knows Claire's alive.
Yeah.
And he's being respectful of that because he's just a classy guy.
Yeah. I know. I thought it was really interesting that we didn't hear him talk for a very long time in the episode. For a while there, I was thinking, like, is he just going to be silent this whole episode? And that's going to just be his thing? Like, he's just, like, not even conversing with anybody anymore? But, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting how it took a while for him to even say, like, one word. Or, like, to, you know, like, yell at Fergus or whatever
I think a lot of this is about Ginny and Fergus just wanting Jamie to like come back. Like, even at one point Ginny says, like, when I tell them that James Frazier, I haven't seen him, it's because it's true. I haven't seen him, you're not here anymore. And even with Fergus trying to bring him the gun and be like, well, let's start another rebellion.
Because the last one went so well,
we still don't know where Murtaugh is. So let's start another one.
Yes, let's put a search party
out. Let's go find him. And, you know, I understand that desire, but I also understand Jamie's just like, I'm not even supposed to be here. Yeah. I thought I was sending my wife away. I was going to die. That was going to be it.
Right.
I feel like he feels like he's living on borrowed time. Mm-hmm. So what does it matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, I think that's just, like, the worst way you can possibly live.
Yeah. It is. Well, and it took him until, what was that quote he said to Fergus? You reminded me that I have something to fight for. Like, it took for that point for him to say, like, okay, well, wait, there is something to live for. There is something to keep going on and for and fighting for. So, yeah, for 2 years, that didn't click in him, and he didn't have that, you know? So,
And I guess, you know, I think also with... Originally, it was just, like, when the Redcoats would come to check up, it'd be, like, they'd harass him. They'd take Ian for, like, a week or two, and they'd bring him back.
Yeah.
And I think this new captain struck Ginny in a way that was, like, this guy is no joke. Mm-hmm. Like, he will keep coming after you. And like, you know, I'm not going to turn you in, but I'm just putting it out there. Something's got to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with everyone kind of put their lives or, you know, had everyone put their lives on the line at one point in this episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the handmaiden giving up the gun, even though knowing that she could be taken in and basically imprisoned, which would basically just mean raped.
Which is a lot for an employee to do for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked for people. I wouldn't risk my life for them. I'd barely do that for some of my cousins.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, okay, she deserves to get laid.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, she's one of those ride or die.
Right?
Like, she's going to be a side chick for the rest of her life, but she's a ride or die side chick. So...
She already had her marriage.
Yeah. She's fine with her role. She's like, Jamie, I'm cool. Fun. If she's it's like, Jamie, you know, I'm cool.
She's also like, look, I need some dick. Like, so
Here we are.
Stuck it in me. She waited till after he went to the river and showered, too, so that was really...
You know, that was kind of interesting, though. It was almost, like, symbolism, too. Like, yeah. He's, like, shedding, like, his, like, long hair and his beard and everything, and then he's like, all right, now I'll have sex with you. Yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, that, like, part of me...
Dirty Jamie.
Yeah, you know, like, he's okay, like, I'm kind of moving on in a way. My body's moving on, maybe. Yeah. Not my heart or my
not
soul.
Not my heart. Not
but,
my soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even just with Jenny saying that her child died. I was like, oh my God. Like, you just told these people that your baby died in childbirth, and that if they ever continue to come back, you have to hide your baby for pretty much at least a year or two before you can be like, oh, yeah, I have a baby.
Mary. Mary is
Mary.
Her name.
Mary, yes. Thank there you. Okay.
So we end up...
Thursday.
Yeah.
Figured.
Ain't nothing wrong with being thirsty, you know. Quench that thirst.
She's
quench
also a ride or die, so, you know.
Yeah, you go, girl.
So we end up seeing Fergus just bite off more than he can chew.
That kid.
And that was crazy.
He just really hated that Scottish guy, and I get it. You know, McGregor was smarmy and, like, self-righteous about the fact that he had turned into a red coat. And, you know, just historically, being a red coat has never been good for anyone.
Like, yeah.
On any continent. Yeah. Like, to this day, we think when somebody says red coat, you're like, ah. Oh, like,
boo. Yeah.
So I was hoping that he would get his just desserts this episode, and that maybe Jamie would, like, maybe he would send the other guy away and Jamie would be able to, like,
you
know, stick that McGregor dude.
Yeah.
But no. They went,
and
it's completely opposite.
When there was
direction.
Just the two of them, I was like, okay, Jamie's going to go down there and, like, take him out. And then everyone else came, and, oh, crap, now Jamie has to stay hidden in the bushes or else 15 people die instead of, like, Fergus getting his hand.
Yeah, I know. I thought Jamie was going to come out, too, and, like, pull some, like, Katniss Everdeen stuff and start, like, picking people off with his bow and arrow. But when I saw, I'm like, when they pulled his hand out, I'm like, no way this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to stop.
But I figured it was going to stop, too.
Yeah, and then I saw, and it was like, oh, my God. I'm like, please be a dream. Is somebody dreaming? Like, what? Is this real?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. That really shocked me.
Yeah.
It kind of took me back. But.
Well, there was a weird beat where it seemed like it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you saw him pull out the knife, and then it kind of slowed down, and you're like, okay, they're not going to, and it hits, and you go, what?
No, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
He missed.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You're like, oh. And then they just leave him there.
I know.
Who is this monster? And how quickly can we kill him?
Yeah.
Like, I need McGregor dead by next episode.
Next episode.
I want to be there to watch it.
Yes.
And I need it to be more gruesome than Captain Jack's death, because that wasn't enough for me.
Right.
We need after everything that he went through.
Yes.
So I need this guy to, like...
And I need Jamie to say, this is for Fergus.
Yes.
And also, they just left the hand in the middle of the woods.
Well, I mean...
And I don't know why. I was like, is it still there? Like, if Claire goes back and she's walking around, will she find Fergus's
hand?
She's
find, like, a rotted...
Yeah,
probably.
Rotted hand or something.
Because, you know, back in the day, it wasn't like, well, let's attempt to save
it. Yeah, it wasn't like they were going to save it. I was just like, you didn't want to have a funeral for it or something? Like,
I guess I don't know what you would do with you. I guess, what did you do? It just goes into waves.
Imagine you're just wandering through the forest one day, you and your friends, and then, boom, there's a hand, and you're like... Did this person die? Are they alive? Like, what's the story behind this hand?
So many questions.
Back in that day, I think there's just you know, just like
hands
seeing,
all over the place.
Like dog
probably,
poop.
Huh?
You're like, oh, look at that hand.
Okay, somebody's foot. Yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah.
Damn, that sucks. I guess a red coat was here.
Yeah.
And you just keep going with your life.
Going.
Yeah, but that scene between Fergus and Jamie, when he's talking about, you remember when I used to trade notes for you? Like, this isn't that bad. He's like, you know, it could have been so much worse because I was obviously, like, doing some crazy treasonous shit for, like, a year of my life. But, and he brings up how he said if I lost an ear or a hand.
Yeah.
And Jamie was like, I'd take care of you for the rest of my life.
Aww.
And I was like, he was like, and I will. I was like,
I know.
Why aren't there men like Jamie in real life? Because it was such a beautiful moment to see, like, that Fergus is just, he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, you know what? Yeah, I guess I kind of brought it on myself.
Yeah.
I'm really, I don't really care.
And he's the kid who, you know, when we first see him, he's talking about, you know, how he could have fought at Culloden. And he wanted to be part of the fight. He wants to be part of this rebellion. He wants to get this life back. So he's like, if this is the price I pay, I did my part because I still stuck it to the man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, I went down taunting him and calling him, you know, all these names. And stuff. So he's like proud of his actions.
Flicking him off.
Yeah.
Constant flicking off. I was like, oh man, I miss that old school flicking off. People don't do that anymore. I do it occasionally, and then people are, I think, more shocked than anything, that I went like, poof. Wow. I didn't think people still did that. But that along with Jenny having the baby prompts Jamie to finally say, you know what? There's a reward out. Mm-hmm. Let's just take this money and turn me back in. And Jenny, oh God, when she's like, I will never forgive you.
I know.
I was like, she means that. And you can see on his face where he's looking at it, he's like, oh, she means it. This is not like her acting like I'm acting. God.
I know. That was sad. Yeah.
That was so much to ask.
Yeah, that was a lot to ask. Yeah. I couldn't imagine doing that to either one of my brothers, even my little one, who I don't like most of the time.
I love you.
But I mean, I could never do that. Yeah. And so for her to have to stand there and do that, I was like, okay, like, yes, she's acting, but this is also so real for her that, you know, she spent 2 years protecting and hiding him and making sure he didn't get caught just for him to turn around and have her be the one to turn him in for some money.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he was like, hey, if someone's going to get this reward, it's going to be us.
Yeah.
I guess. Her face the whole time, she was not acting at all.
No.
Like, he was acting, turned around, looking all handsome Jamie again.
I know.
And that little hat. And he's like, hey, sister. And she's like, fuck you for this. I hate you so much right now. Didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything. Just sat there, took the money. Oh, man.
Yeah.
But she did masala it by sending over the handmaiden.
Yeah.
The night before. To be like, all right, well, fine. If we're going to do this, let's do this. But hey, you're also getting laid.
Yeah. Well, my night. Yeah.
And just seeing him transform back. I know we've already touched on this, but there was just something so beautiful and sad about these two sad people.
Oh, yeah.
Just like being like, I just need to be touched.
Yeah.
Like, kind of reminded me of Monster's Ball, but not as gross.
Yeah, I kind of thought like just
like, Monster's Ball is just all flooding back into my mind.
Oh no.
Sorry, Billy Bob. I just can't get down with you, man.
I kind of thought like it's these two people who it was more than obviously like just sex, like, you know, they just needed that like
physical
connection in some way, because for both that was a large part of their relationship when they were together, and now obviously that's missing. So it's like just starving for that emotional connect or physical connection and emotional, that's not there, but just seeing the struggle too for both of them, like so hard, was just heartbreaking. But
I mean, I guess I would imagine, and I don't know, I do not know what I'm talking about, don't like assume anything, but that's similar to like what a widow or a widower must go through when they decide to kind of like start dating again. Like where it's like you've had this major loss and this person's no longer around and you kind of have to move forward with your life. And what does that entail? And, you know, for Jamie, it's even more so because he doesn't even have his child. So, you know.
Yeah.
For all he knows, he died or some other man is raising his child. Yeah. So I'm sure he has feelings about that as well.
Which is why I'm sure when Jenny touched on, you know, like, I'm sorry that you could never bring a child into this world. That's when I was like, oh, you don't know everything. Yeah. And he's holding this all in and bottling it up.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know that, like, they do have a child that they... Mm-hmm. She probably knows that they lost the child.
They know that.
She knows that one. But she doesn't know that, you know, Claire left still pregnant and all this stuff. So that was just heartbreaking, too.
Yeah.
And is it, refresh my memory, is it only Murtaugh that knows about Claire and, like, time travel and stuff? They told him, right? Mm-hmm. Last. So is he the only one that really Jamie could talk
confide
to
him
about this?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to find him quick.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Murtaugh?
But would he do it, though? You know how men get sometimes.
Don't talk about my feelings.
I don't know. Any other thoughts on the episode before we jump into the predictions?
Not really. I just wrote down at the very end when Claire hears the bagpipes and then she gives money. Like, I don't know. That was kind of symbolism for something. For like Jamie. Maybe, yeah, like yeah. keeping that alive or like, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing.
Because they played bagpipes at her wedding too, right? Didn't they have someone playing?
Yeah. I'm sure.
And they also, they play it for everything.
All the time. Yeah. That song, my high school, we were the Highlanders.
Of course,
I didn't really know what a Highlander was when I was in high school.
Yeah. If you did know, you probably would have been like, all right.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Yeah. Now everything that makes sense, like the Scotty Dogs, the kilts, like everything makes sense. But our bagpipe people always played that song.
For everything.
So as soon as I heard it, first I PTSD of high school. And then I was like, oh, okay, it's Claire. And I get it.
I like that it's still kind of. They're both just really haunted. I mean, Jamie literally is haunted, and Claire's just kind of like living her life being haunted.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's get into predictions.
All right.
There we go.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
There we go. Okay, so who wants to go first?
I don't know. All I want is for Murtaugh to come back and for Claire and Jamie to be reunited. That's the only things that I want right now.
Like, I don't care about anything
else. I don't really care about much else. Also, I really just, maybe it was the hopefulness in me. Where we ended last season is where I wanted to pick up this season, so I just want to get to that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, this is all great stuff, but it's all stuff I already kind of knew was going to happen. Yeah. Let's get to where we left off. Like, I want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
So that's... That's my prediction-ish.
No, I get it.
I'm the same. I want that, too. Murtaugh's, like, probably my top three, maybe top two favorite character on the show. So I'm like, please come back. I need you more of you in my life. But I'm also wanting Claire and Jamie to get back. I just, from what I saw from the next episode or for, you know, later on in the season, seems like Jamie somehow is going to escape with help from people or from somebody. Jamie is a survivor, so obviously, he's going to find a way to keep, I don't know, keep the faith alive, I guess. I don't know. And then Claire, obviously, I think is just going to go, just dive straight into her medicine and kind of forget about, you know, her emotional needs.
I think we touched on that last episode. I was like, well, she's probably just going to, like, be so work-focused that everything kind of else falls to the wayside, which kind of sucks, but I get it, and it's nice to have that told from a female point of view, not just a male point of view. With that said, I think I'm really excited to see Jamie no longer have to be, like, a prisoner, because I feel like every season he's either on the lam or he's a prisoner. He's getting, like, whipped or raped, and I need... Just give him, like, at least a year, okay? Of just, like, not being on the run, just being able to live his life. So I'm really excited to see Jamie have some type of normalcy. With Claire, I think, I think medicine's going to kind of take over her life, and that's going to... We get a little bit more of a jump forward with her next episode, and so I think we're going to see, like, the... poor Frank fall into, like, some type of alcoholism or something. Which kind of, I mean, not kind of, it does suck because I want him to, I wish they would just get divorced and he could just, you know, but it's the 50s and that's not how it rolls.
And the hard part is that I think he keeps going to her to say, you know, he keeps giving her the outs because he's so in love with her that he can't leave.
He can't do it.
He can't do it. And I was just like, man, just you leave her because.
You deserve better. Gotta have that strength, man. I've been there. Been like, just break up with me. Just break up with me. When I should just be saying, I'm breaking up with you.
Exactly.
It's over. Done. So, I don't know, maybe we'll get to see that, but obviously we're not because we already know. And that's the one thing I did not like about last season is that we got that huge jump forward. So we already know what's kind of going to go down. Right. We know that Frank's going to die. We all know, if you don't know this already, how are you watching season three without season two? and so it's kind of frustrating because it is like that. Just, well, then let's just get there.
Can we get there?
You shouldn't have shown me any of that. Because now I'm like, well, I already know what's going to happen.
I know they're not happy in their marriage. I know what's going to happen. I know he's going to die. I know she's going to go back here. I know her daughter's going to find out. Like, give me the answers I want.
Yes.
And find Murtaugh along
the way. Yeah, and find Murtaugh.
And damn you for telling me a year ago, a year and a half ago, what was going to happen. So, anyways, I think that about wraps us up this episode of Outlander. season three. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you all?
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG It's MLE.
And I'm Tiana Hobson. And you can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes. And as always, we always love good, nice, solid ratings on iTunes. You can also talk to us on YouTube. Occasionally, we do respond. 5 stars if you're nasty, as Ty likes to say. And thank you so much for watching. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.